Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
New research from UCD has shown a rise in anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and violence across the country. The Department of Geography at UCD has been part of the research project involving 8 European countries. Professor Kath Brown from the Department of Geography at UCD is project coordinator of the EU-funded Resist project and joins us now. And you're very welcome, Kath, to the programme. Can you tell me, when we talk about anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and violence, what kind of things have you identified?
So the kind of things we found, Sarah, are kind of obviously the protests outside libraries, attacking people who are LGBT, attacking organisations, targeting groups and their funding, social media attacks that then leads to media stories. And as one participant said, if trans people are in the news, it's not good news. Social media then responses that mean people are threatened, including threats to their homes and families, as well as complaints to employers that threaten people's jobs. And the key thing to note about this research is that it's not necessarily about individual, you know, experiences of homophobia or violence. It's about a targeted, systematic, organized attacks that happen over and over again. And what our participants told us was that it comes in waves. So you have an attack and then there's a little lull, but then there's just the fear of the next attack. So it's an ongoing thing, not a one-off event.
And can you talk me through how you gathered this information?
So what we did was we asked people who had experienced these attacks to come forward and tell us about their experiences, to tell us about them being targeted. And what that allowed us to do was then focus in on the key issues. And of course, most or a lot of the people, although they knew it was an issue for them, didn't necessarily recognise the pattern that we identified across Ireland and indeed the European Union. So putting it all together was quite a powerful exercise in showing this systematic element and how it's influencing Ireland today.
And because this was across a number of different countries, Ireland, Spain, Belarus, France, Switzerland, Poland, Germany and Greece.
Exactly.
Did you see a difference across the different countries?
Yeah, so in Ireland, one of the key differences we found was that whereas Ireland has quite a supportive political system in that we haven't taken anti-LGBT or anti-trans rhetoric and politicised it, you know, politicians, in mainstream politicians at least, are not taking this as a kind of political point scoring effect. Obviously, in places like Poland and Belarus, there are anti-LGBT zones, anti-LGBT laws and legislations. So we did find differences, but regardless really of the context, we found that feminists and LGBTQIA plus people were facing verbal and physical attacks, property damage, systemic discrimination, and often public spaces and in social media. So nowhere was safe, really. It wasn't like one place was protected in any way.
And you mentioned as well the lulls and that this sort of comes in waves. And of course, we had the marriage referendum 2015. There was a sense that, you know, the country had turned a corner and was not going to look back. Do you identify or do you have any theory on what causes the waves?
Well, I think the waves are even shorter than that. You know, the lull after the 2015 referendum, what participants spoke about was, you know, battles that had been won and feeling that Ireland had changed and had progressed. And this real surprise, shock, real upset about what they were then experiencing when they were targeted and attacked. You know, this fear that it was coming back and it was going to get worse. So, you know, the more kind of waves that we would be looking at were perhaps less than those kind of 5 to 10 years and more frequent. You know, you might have a month or two off when you're not the centre of media story and then it comes back again. And of course, that relates to some of the anti-immigration stuff as well.
And how does it? Sorry.
So in the sense that what participants sometimes told us was when they were targeting immigration, they weren't necessarily targeting LGBTQIA plus people. So the waves weren't about, you know, a kind of lull for some people. But if you were both a migrant and LGBT, there was no respite. And what people told us over and over again was even if there was a lull, it was just a fear. It was just a when is it going to come back? When is what's going to happen happen next? What am I going to be dealing with? And not ever knowing where it was going to come from or what the target would be, and just being even more afraid. And of course, that had huge implications for organisations where they weren't sure if their services were going to be targeted. So they had to then protect the service users. And of course, when we're talking about organisations for LGBT people, we're talking about the most marginalised and vulnerable LGBT people. So they couldn't advertise services, you know, publicly in case that venue would be targeted, in case they'd end up with a protest or someone outside it. And that meant that there were less people who were then able to access it, and harder for people who really needed the services to be able to get to them.
Well, it's really interesting research, Kath, and thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Professor Kath Brown from the Department of Geography at UCD.